Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News One Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV One.
Good morning, I'm Roland Martin. Today on News One Now, a coalition of black pastors, they say President Barack Obama, members of the Black Lives Matter movement, aren't doing enough, even calling them demonic. I will go one-on-one with Reverend E.W. Jackson right here on TV One. Plus, some white folks have gotten mad all about the all-black cast of The Wiz. I'm gonna break that thing down for them so they understand the reality of history and America. Comedian Lavelle Crawford is in the house. We'll talk to him about all kinds of stuff, including what it's like having black folks during the Christmas season. Also, today is the Founders Day of the oldest, coldest, boldest fraternity. Can I get some with my Leon?
You can get some all the
Alpha Phi Alpha. It's time to bring the funk. News One Now, TV One. Demonic, disgraceful. That's how my next guest has described Black Lives Matter as they have been fighting and advocating for rights all across this country. He also has criticized President Barack Obama, former Attorney General Eric Holder, saying they have not done anything for black folks. And so what he is launching, along with other pastors, is a group called Stand. Their whole goal is to focus on the issue of race and poverty in this country. And so right now, I want to go to Skype. My guest right now is Reverend E.W. Jackson. He says that there's a need for a Marshall Plan. He joins us from Skype via Chesapeake, Virginia. Reverend Jackson, first of all, welcome to News One Now.
Thank you for having me.
First and foremost, why do you call Black Lives Matter demonic when you have folks all across this country who have gone to the streets, who have been protesting, who have been fighting for police accountability? Why do you call them disgraceful and demonic?
Well, look, what has to happen is the community has got to be brought together, not divided. Police are an absolute necessity for the safety of law-abiding citizens in the community. And so calling them pigs in a blanket and saying insulting things only serves to make things less safe for the average black person who is not out there committing crimes. Hold on, let me finish. And then secondly, the fact that literally every year, thousands of young black men are dying in the streets in black-on-black crime is completely ignored. So if black lives
actually,
really
matter. Actually, it's not true. Reverend Jackson, I have talked to numerous activists. In fact, many of the individuals who have been a part of the Black Lives Matter movement, they actually join anti-violence organizations. So, Reverend Jackson.
That's wonderful. That's not the narrative, though.
Hold up. That's not the narrative.
If they're doing that, that's wonderful. But dividing the community and attacking
police. How are they dividing the community?
All bad is, to me, is evil. It's wrong.
Reverend Jackson, is it evil for activists to fight for justice for Tamir Rice when here we are a year after his shooting and still no justice? Is it evil for people to force Chicago to release the video of Laquan McDonald shot 16 times by an officer, leading to that officer being charged the first time ever while on duty for first-degree murder? Is it evil for them to advocate? One second. Is it evil for them to advocate for Eric Garner when they also, the New York Justice League, they got Andrew Cuomo, the governor, to sign an executive order calling for a prosecutor, independent prosecutor, attorney general, to investigate all those cases? Is it evil for them to fight for the officer, against the officer? One second. Is it evil for them to fight against the officer in Los Angeles who kicked a woman in the back of her car and that cop was convicted, served 3 years in jail? Is that evil?
If what you're trying to get me to say is that when officers violate their authority and do wrong things, that they should not be punished? Of course, they should be punished. In fact, my argument is they should be punished even worse than the average citizen because we give them a great deal of trust.
But they weren't before Black Lives Matter.
Okay, you just went through a long alliteration of things. Now, let me respond. So, but what we've got to do is understand that police officers in the community are an absolute necessity, and trying to divide the community against them and suggest, well, they're all evil, they're all out to get
us,
they are oppressors, is wrong. That is the narrative that the Black Lives Matter movement has been putting forth.
First of all, Reverend Jackson, if you actually watch this show, you will actually know what the real narrative is. I'm not sitting here articulating a Fox News narrative. I'm not articulating a a narrative. I'm articulating what actually happens. And here's the problem.
So were they chanting pigs in a blanket?
One second. Were there individuals in St. Paul, Minnesota who did that chant? Yes. Was it wrong? Yes. But what you are doing right now. What you are doing right now is you are taking that statement and applying it to the entire nation. So aren't you doing the exact same thing you're accusing them of doing?
No, because they objected on numerous occasions to, frankly, a more unifying statement, which is that all lives matter, and that includes Black lives. And when when Black lives are taken unjustly, certainly the persons responsible for that should be punished. But that also
includes
the gangbangers who killed Tyshawn Lee, and I haven't heard a word from Black Lives Matter.
And you are wrong, sir. And Bishop, this is where you are wrong. When you say I haven't heard it,
on your show, Bishop, so I guess I need to watch your show.
Bishop, if you want to launch a plan that's going to help Black America, you might want to watch the only Black national show that talks to Black people. Because here's the deal, Bishop. Here's the deal. The issue that you say you want to focus on, trust me, the other networks are not focusing on. We are. But when you say they haven't done that, they actually have. When you have people who are out there protesting, who were standing with Father Michael Flager, who were sitting here demanding justice, they are doing that. But the problem is when you go on radio, television, internet, and when you say these things are not being done, when they are being done, well, then you tell me who looks wrong.
Well, I'm a Black pastor of a Black church working with a whole bunch of Black pastors, and nobody is seeing, and people I'm sure are watching your show and others, nobody is seeing this other narrative you're putting forth.
Now, they are.
I'll offer to talk to people in the Black Lives Matter movement, tell them what I'm doing, and see how interested they are in a positive effort to solve these problems,
not just bash police and not get people all stirred up over single incidents.
And you said thousands are not dying a year in Black-on-Black violence. That is not true. Thousands are dying
Bishop, first of all, I didn't say thousands are not dying. What I said wasn't true was you saying they are not fighting for that and fighting for those issues. But here's the other point here. What we also see Black Lives Matter doing across this country, they are demanding a level of accountability, not just with police, but also DAs, also prosecutors, also the legal justice system. Right now, you literally have allegations of a cover-up in the death of Laquan McDonald. But not just that case, Bishop. I look at Howard Morgan when he had to go to jail because he was shot more than 20 times by police officers in Chicago, and he is also a cop. Here's the point I need to understand. When you talk about these issues, where have you been? Where have the other pastors been? Because Bishop, if you go criticize them, why don't you actually advocate for those same issues? And if you are a pastor and you're calling them demonic, you bring your Christian values to it, but sitting on the sideline complaining about them doing the work is wrong.
I have never been on the sidelines in my life. I've always been active. Now, I don't operate necessarily in the same venues, and frankly, so that the record is clear, I am a big supporter of the police, not of wrongdoing by any stretch of the imagination, but I think that we've got to figure out ways to work with the police.
So turn them to
the enemies of the community.
So do you believe the officer who killed Eric Garner should get his job back?
Well, I believe that the facts ought to be fully known, and if it's turned out that that officer violated policy, then certainly he should be punished.
Have you and other pastors in your group, have you all been demanding accountability when it comes to Tamir Rice's case? Have you been demanding that DA Tim McGinty move aside because he is attacking the family as opposed to finding justice? Have y'all called for that?
Well, you're going to criticize me for doing, we're doing what we have been called to do.
And what is that?
And what I'm called to do is this program I thought we were going to talk about.
No, we are.
Project Create an Awakening. We're trying to bring a positive vision because what the question we're asking is, okay, fine, let's have justice. If something's wrong, something's been done, let's deal with it. But where are we going to be a year from now, 10 years from now? Because we know that the main problem that faces the black community now is not police brutality. Is it a problem? Yes, it may be. But it's not the main problem. We got problems of poverty. We got problems of crime, drug addiction, gang warfare. We got a whole host of problems in the black community.
So here's my question. This is not offering,
Black Lives Matter is not offering a positive vision for addressing those problems.
Really? So you mean tell me you haven't seen the platform of CampaignZero.org? But here's the other point. If you want to offer a positive vision, why do you then have to attack, degrade what Black Lives Matter is doing? Why can't you launch your initiative without attacking them, without calling them demonic, without saying what they're doing is dividing? Yeah. Why can't you do that?
Look. This is one United States of America, and I have seen them excoriate people when they say all lives matter, but all lives do matter. I'm here to say that.
So do black lives.
I'm a proud black man. Black lives matter, white lives matter, Hispanic lives matter. We've got to come together, not tear ourselves apart.
Well, you know what? Here's what's interesting. When I look at the protests in the street, when I see whites and Hispanics and Asians, young folks, older folks, I've actually seen 500,000 in New York. I've seen more than 100,000 in Chicago. So here's what I find to be interesting. I'm seeing literally hundreds of thousands of people, multi-ethnic, various groups. That seems to me as more like unity versus dividing. So when you say dividing,
you can't have unity when you're saying one group of lives matter and other lives don't. Do you realize, for example, that anywhere from two-thirds to one-half the people who die in confrontations with police are not black, they're white?
Yes, so first of all, black folks only make up 13% of the population.
We're acting like it's only black folks. Well, but the fact of the matter is that black people aren't the only ones who have interactions with police that end up in their deaths.
And guess what?
Mantra that brings people together instead of tearing people apart.
But here's the point here. And if whites want to fight against that injustice, I say, come on. But here's the point.
But we have a different vision because my vision is one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice.
Black folks over here,
white folks over here, and Hispanic folks over there, and we all sort of go at each other and compete for our little interests. But why don't we compete all for the best interests of the entire country?
First of all, when I look at the history of black folks, we have always been fighting, advocating for that. But the reality is, it's not like larger society has been trying to believe in the same thing. So here's the question. So you're launching your group Stand. What specifically are you first focusing on, and how are you trying to rally African Americans to stand with you on that?
Stand has been in existence for 6 years. The new plan that we're launching is called Project Awakening, based on three principles. We're reaching out to black pastors all over the country. First, here in Virginia, we're having multiple meetings with pastors. We're having a launching program for Project Awakening next Wednesday at the National Press Club, and then a meeting, a summit with pastors later that day. Project Create is based on a three approach: cultural renewal, economic awakening, and technical education.
Define those.
In other words, cultural renewal deals with the intractable issues that we know we face in the black community. For example, the breakdown of the family, fathers abandoning their children. We need to get fathers back in the home. We need to get children mentored by men. We need men in the community taking their rightful place again. The whole issue of the importance of education. I don't know how old you are. When I was raised, the black community understood that education was paramount. I think that value has largely been lost. As I talk to young people, it doesn't loom as large in their minds as it did in mine when I was growing up. And I was listening to my father and other parents talking to their children about how urgent it was that you get a decent education. So those are just two of the cultural issues.
But I've heard other black people raise
the whole issue of breakdown of authority. You know, and I know. We were raised to respect authority, to respect our elders. A lot of that is gone too. We want to address those
issues. We were raised to respect authority, but also authority is to also respect us. I'm still trying to figure out. I get the overarching. What I'm saying is, what's the next step? in terms of what somebody can say, okay, this is an initiative. When you say cultural awakening, family, but how are you going to deal with what is systemic? Because when you talk about poverty, that goes beyond just pull your own bootstraps. It also means a system in place that also doesn't provide opportunities.
Well, I don't agree with that. I think that, look, just like I made it, you don't agree with what? I don't agree that the system itself does not allow people to climb out of poverty. I was raised in a foster home. I was raised in poverty. The first home I lived in had no indoor bathroom. My father was a common laborer, but he taught me the importance of making a life for myself. Look, I'm a pastor. I work with young people. I know that what's holding them back more than anything else is parents who are not doing their job and teaching those young people a lack of vision for what their lives could
be. Let me ask you a question.
Because look, I'm not saying that the system is, I think the system is designed to keep people in poverty, but I think anybody can climb out if they're willing to take the steps necessary.
Wait
until you're married to have children.
Bishop, wait a minute. You said the system is designed to keep folks in poverty, but then you say the system is not causing. But here's what I'm trying to understand.
They can climb out of it.
Okay, first of all.
It's designed by liberal policies that were intended to hurt black people.
Okay, all right.
But the black family was largely intact.
You know what I learned, Bishop?
In the 60s, the black family was largely intact, and now it's decimated.
Bishop, you know what I realize? What I realize is here. When I look at issue of white supremacy in America, when I look at white privilege, you know what I see? I don't even know when you talk about
white supremacy. I think of the Ku Klux Klan and the Aryan Nation. When you say white privilege, I don't even know what you're talking about when you say white privilege.
You don't know what white privilege is or white supremacy?
I know this. I know that my children went to school with white children whose parents weren't there, who were living on welfare. Okay. My children had two educated parents. Were my children experiencing black privilege? I think we got to look at people as individuals and stop this broad swath of, well, it's white privilege. No matter what your circumstance, you can be growing up and born into the Appalachia regions of the country where people are doing prescription drugs and they're caught up in methamphetamine.
Yeah, you're right.
And you're supposed to be a person of white privilege. Here's some kid who's the child of an educated black person and somehow they're disadvantaged.
Bishop, since you brought it up, you want to know what white privilege is? When you got white parents in New Hampshire right now asking politicians, oh, please have compassion for my kid who's a drug addict on heroin, when the same folk were saying, throw them black kids in jail when it came to crack. All of a sudden, when they kids start using heroin, now let's have compassion and not be so tough on crime. But in the 80s and 90s and 2000, it was a whole different message. So,
with all due respect,
that's a meaningless statement.
Because,
oh my God!
Look,
okay.
You and I both know crack cocaine, and I was a pastor in Boston during the crack cocaine epidemic. It was decimating the black community.
And heroin is jacking up white folks right now.
Black leaders were calling for punishment for people who were dealing crack cocaine and using crack cocaine because they were breaking in houses. One of my members got raped by a black crackhead, as a result of bad public policy,
it is that bad public policy you just mentioned contributed to the breakup of the black family, contributed to poverty, and those black lawmakers, Bishop, have been apologizing. Why? Because they passed laws and they never thought about what the intent was going to actually be. Bishop, what they should have done was let crack cocaine run rampant in the community and cause all kinds of havoc, and now we're apologizing to some of these people. What we need to do is teach our children to stop using these drugs. Bishop, well, guess what? What I'm saying is this here, and it's some white parents right now who are going through exactly what black parents are going through with heroin, and they're having a whole different reaction.
Here's the deal, Bishop. Why do you have to racialize everything?
Because, Bishop, Jackson, last point, Bishop, this real quick. Anytime somebody makes an announcement of some initiative they do, I say we'll talk about it. But here's the deal. Come back in 6 months, and I want a status report.
All right. I'll give you that.
Got it. All right.
All right.
I'll see you then. Coming up, my panel will talk about Bishop Edith Jackson's plan. to help Black America, or I'm sorry, as he say, help all of America. Also, we'll deal with white reaction to the all-black cast of The Wiz. It's quite interesting. 19 after the hour. News 1 Now on TV 1.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News 1 Now with your host, Roland Martin.
Introducing my pal, David Swirlick, Washington Post, George Jefferson Nuri in the Public Eye Communications, Dr. Wilma Leon, Sirius XM Radio. Folks, here's the most important thing for me. If Bishop Jackson wants to launch an initiative, that's fine. But when you want to attack what somebody else is doing, that is being effective, what that tells me is you actually don't really care about your plan. It's all about what they're doing.
But I was going to say, you know, my good friends who belong to B'nai B'rith, my good friends who belong to the Irish League, my good friends who belong to the Italian American Society get to support their ethnic background without feeling like they're attacking somebody else. Black Lives Matter has come together to educate people around what is happening in the black community with police abuse. That has been such a successful campaign. We have seen legislation change, we have seen people lose their jobs, and they have brought an awareness to police abuse. What I would like to know from Bishop
Jackson
is he, since he's a big supporter of the police, does he go in and take the good cops and make them hold their partners accountable?
Gotcha.
One of the big problems with, there are many problems within the African American community, and there are many problems within our movements, and is people like Reverend Jackson that are one of the problems. Because first of all, he perpetuates this myth that to be pro us is anti them. He also has misinterpreted, I don't know where he gets this narrative that Black Lives Matter is anti-police. They're anti-bad police, they're anti-abusive police, they're anti-murderous police, which everybody should be against. But it's also interesting to understand that when you look at Dr. King in the Civil Rights Movement, when you looked at Fred Hampton, when you looked at Malcolm X, the bulk of the community wasn't with them at that time either. Mm-hmm. So you get these pitiful. I mean that was a pitiful display.
Yeah,
David?
Yeah, 2 points wrong. One is, what came across to me in your interview with Bishop Jackson was that he's not getting his information from black news sources, right?
No.
Because the narrative, if you follow your show, if you follow other black media, you know that it's well-covered territory, that Black Lives Matter doesn't mean Black Lives Matter more, it means Black Lives Matter also. That's number one. Number two is that he clearly doesn't watch your show, because people on this set, including myself, have criticized Black Lives Matter for saying pigs in a blanket. Mm-hmm. It's that, and people have criticized their messaging.
Those individual activists.
Right. In that specific one instance in Minneapolis. However,
we were on the show together.
No, that's right. But at the same time, as you pointed out to him, Roland, just yesterday I saw that DeRay McKesson was announcing the Campaign Zero had come out with the Police Union Contract Project, which is a specific initiative where they want to work with police departments to rearrange how police contracts are negotiated. The point is, they're doing things that are proactive, and he's not even acknowledging.
Here's the deal. Bishop Jackson is a right-wing pastor.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who, his whole deal with liberal policies. And that's what he is.
Right.
And I've said it here, and anybody knows, I got no issue. I have black conservatives on this show. I have black liberals on this show. Mm-hmm. Progressive, independents, Christians, non-Christians. The problem is, he doesn't have a real agenda. And the fact of the matter is, Black Lives Matter has been effective in driving public policy, and what he doesn't like is they are being effective.
No, he has a real agenda. His agenda is anti-black community. And I know it's anti-black community because he's perpetuating that same conservative myth of blame the poor for their plight. Right. And if he grew up in the circumstance that he claims he grew up in, he obviously didn't learn much while he was there, because he has forgotten so much of the systemic, the inconsistency that you pointed out. He wants to talk about the system being set up to be against the community, but somehow it's very easy for the people to climb out of the poverty that the system reinforces.
And I'm glad, Roland, to see you point out to him that he gave this broad sweep of what the issues are that his initiative is going to address, from poverty to, you know, single-parent households to all of that. But he didn't say how it was going to get done, and you held his feet to the fire on that one. He didn't say, we all know these are the issues, but what are you going to do that's different than any other organization?
And that's why I say you got to come back, David, real quick.
Roland, what struck me as so funny, too, is that, you know, I've done quite a bit of reporting on black conservatives. Many of the black conservatives that I've talked to would not find his response to this problem conservative. To call people demonic is not a conservative solution to the problem.
Evil.
Even if you don't agree with the Black Lives Matter agenda, demonic doesn't get anybody anywhere.
Let me also, I got to go to a break right now, but let me say this here, Bishop Jackson. That's another Reverend Jackson that you don't want to be associated with, and that's Joseph Jackson. Mm-hmm. Joseph Jackson was a Chicago pastor who headed the National Baptist Convention USA, who opposed Dr. King, who shut him down in Chicago, who kicked him out and others out of the National Baptist Convention USA. That Joseph Jackson out of Chicago was so evil that when Dr. King was assassinated and the Chicago City Council renamed the street that his church was on at Long Street in Chicago, Martin Luther King Drive, that Reverend Jackson was so trifling, he changed the address of his church to an alley so his church would not be on MLK Drive. That Joseph Jackson, we don't celebrate today because that Joseph Jackson was a hater of a freedom fighter. So Reverend Bishop E.W. Jackson, I suggest you change your tone and your method, because history might say 20, 30, 40 years from now that you were like that Reverend Jackson, and that is a hater of black freedom fighters. So if you love black people, I suggest you actually show some Christian love as opposed to your stance you show on this show today. Coming up, we have headlines. We'll talk about a San Bernardino shooting. Also, what in the world is going on? The Wiz on NBC last night, and you had some white folks who lost their mind on Twitter. Oh, wait till I tell y'all what happened. Plus, comedian Lavelle Crawford breaks down his comedy tour right here, News 1 Now, TV 1.
Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News 1 Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV 1.
Authorities now say the gunman responsible for the San Bernardino massacre appeared to have been radicalized and in touch with terrorists. According to the FBI, Saeed Farouk had communicated via phone and social media with at least one person under investigation for international terrorism. Yesterday, Farouk and his wife, Tashfeen Malik, killed 14 people, wounded 21 others during a holiday party at the Inland Regional Center, a state-run center for the disabled. The couple was later killed in a shootout with cops. Investigators discovered 12 pipe bombs, more than 1,600 rounds of ammunition in the couple's home. Authorities say the suspect's handguns were purchased legally, but someone else purchased their two assault-style rifles. President Barack Obama is again calling for tougher gun control laws.
I do think that as the investigation moves forward, it's going to be important for all of us, including our legislatures, to see what we can do to make sure that when individuals decide that they want to do somebody harm, we're making it a little harder for them to do it.
Folks, women can now serve in all combat roles in the military. That after Secretary of Defense Ash Carter announced that change in policy. He's given the military about a month and a half to put the procedures in place. But he says if you want to serve in the military, you should serve anywhere without interruption.
As long as they qualify and meet the standards, women will now be able to contribute to our mission in ways they could not before. They'll be able to serve as Army Rangers and Green Berets, Navy SEALs, Marine Corps Infantry, Air Force Parajumpers, and everything else that was previously open only to men.
There were 220,000 jobs that women could not serve in the combat. Now they will be able to do so. Yesterday, the Senate passed a bill that actually will tear apart the Affordable Health Care Act that was passed by the Senate, a near party line vote, 52-47. I kind of think the president is going to veto that bill. I'm just saying. And so, again, they want to repeal all of the Affordable Care Act, we call Obamacare. Okay, but it ain't gonna happen. But hey, great job nevertheless. All right then, folks. Also, police might want moved in overnight to remove Black Lives Matter protesters camped outside the Minneapolis Police 4th Precinct for the last couple of weeks. Protests sparked on the November 15th fatal shooting of 24-year-old Jamar Clark. Around 4 a.m., cops moved in, ordered demonstrators to disperse or be arrested. Eight people were arrested for refusing to follow police orders. Police then began taking down tents, tables, and other items at the site. They also used a backhoe to remove all debris from the area. Four corrections officers from Louisiana St. Bernard Parish Prison have been indicted on federal civil rights charges for the death of 19-year-old Nimali Henry. In April 2014, Henry was found dead in her cell after the corrections officers deliberately ignored her medical condition and needed medication for a serious blood disorder. She was locked up for 10 days after being arrested on minor charges stemming from a dispute between a woman and the father of her four-month-old baby. The only reason she was still in jail for those 10 days is because her family couldn't afford a $25,000 bond. And folks, real quick here, it's very simple. You did not see a lot of these folks being charged before Black Lives Matter protests.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Social media and protests and constant pressure is what put the pressure to keep investigating these cases.
And them having a consistent strategy that they follow. They know what they want. They have not diluted that with other things, and they continue to hammer away at it.
Also, next story, I love this one here. You know, folks see black men in a hoodie. Well, some brothers in Illinois, you know what they did? They went Christmas caroling in hoodies. Watch this video here, folks. They decided to conduct a social experiment by prankster Tom Maybe. Five black men dressed in black pay a visit to the suburbs and completely smash the stereotype in a unique way. Check this out.
They told me a newborn king to see.
What do y'all think about that?
She barely opened the door and slammed it back until they started singing something she recognized. It was perfect. Absolutely perfect.
I love how they went up there and put the camera on the door to shoot them. That was good. That was good. All right, y'all. Coming up, y'all don't want to miss this. I have a dear white people message for all the haters of the all-black cast of The Wiz that aired last night on NBC. Trust me, y'all don't want to miss this. Plus, funny man LaVell Crawford talks to us about Black Twitter. And of course, I'm sure food's gonna come up too. 23 before top of the hour. News 1 Now, TV 1.
Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News 1 Now with Roland Martin. Every weekday morning at 7 on TV 1.
All right, welcome to our Dear White People segment. Like, last night in America was like Roots in the 70s. Everybody black was tuned in to NBC to watch The Wiz, except this person. He wasn't at church or Bible study, wasn't at a black power meeting, so I don't know what the hell he was doing last night, but he didn't even DVR The Wiz.
Nope.
Sure. His black card is under review right now. All right, y'all.
No.
So here's what happened yesterday. So before The Wiz came on, all of a sudden, Twitter blows up because you had some white folks in America who just went crazy about the all black cast. Look at some of these tweets right here. First off, Evan at MJTM. I just learned there's a black version of Wizard of Oz called The Wiz. How is that not racist? The next tweet, come on, y'all. Come on, move. Melly, can you imagine the outrage if a show advertised an all-white cast? But The Wiz Live is getting praised for having an all-black cast.
It's called Birth of a Nation.
Next tweet, Nick Caprell, dude, there's a live show of The Wizard of Oz called The Wiz, and it's an all-black cast. If it was all white, that would be outrage. Next. Minorities act like they're the victims, but can you imagine if we made an all-white version of The Wiz? Next.
He's called The Wizard of Oz.
Why are we covering up their names? It don't matter their pictures. Twitter is public. All right, the next one. All the main stars of The Wiz musical are African-American. Nothing wrong with that, but if it was all white, everyone start calling it racist. Hey, y'all, let me help y'all out. There's a movie called The Wizard of Oz. Ain't no black people in it. You know what?
Even the Munchkins weren't black.
Right. There are television shows on ABC and NBC and CBS. There are no black people in it. You didn't see black people in Friends in New York. And New York has the highest concentration of black people in America. See, this is why this is funny. It's because you have folks who are living in this totally alternate universe. Because what's really happening is that as America is changing, as America is becoming more minority, there are some white people in America, some, I didn't say all, some, not my good white folks here at my show, but some, who don't understand that there's an alternate reality out there. Spike Lee, who got his honorary Oscar, the Governor's Awards, a couple of weeks ago, he actually addressed this issue from the podium. Spike?
We need to have some serious discussion about diversity and get some flavor up in this. This industry is so behind sports, it's ridiculous. It's easier to be the President of the United States as a black person than be the head of studio. Honest. It's easier to be the President of the United States than to be head of a studio or head of a network.
In the history of Hollywood, no African American has ever run a studio. You got a black president and black Fortune 500 CEOs, but we can't run a studio in Hollywood. In fact, you don't have a single African American with the power in Hollywood today to literally green light a film. In that same speech, Spike said when he goes into a movie studio, only black person he sees is the brother who signs him in the security desk. Now, earlier this year, Chris Rock, he wrote a piece, cover story, in The Hollywood Reporter, calling out Tinseltown, and he said, let's be honest, Hollywood is white. Quote, you're telling me no Mexicans are qualified to do anything at a studio? Really? Nothing but mop up? What are the odds that that's true? He also said, if Kevin Hart is playing 40,000 seats in a night and Jon Stewart is playing 3,000, the fact that Jon Stewart's 3,000 are white means Kevin has to cross over? That makes no sense. Here's the reality. The Hollywood Reporter had to face it later. Remember earlier this month or last month when they had this group who were likely going to win Oscars? Mm-hmm. Let me show you what it looked like. We don't have it? Y'all, wasn't nobody who looked like us in that photo. It made no sense whatsoever. The reality is this. All these people who are on Twitter who lost their mind, what they don't understand is, guess what? There's a different world out there. And that world is, you know what? It literally has been white America. You don't like it. I'm just being honest about it. And so all of a sudden, they see television commercials and promos, and they see all black people, and they go, oh my God, what's going on? They're taking over. When all they have to do is turn to the show that came on after The Wiz, your local news. You probably didn't see many black people. Oh, keep it on NBC. The host of The Late Show? No. The host of the show after The Late Show? No. Flip over to ABC? No black hosts. Go to CBS? No black hosts. You gotta go to Comedy Central to find two brothers. But skip last night. Watch tonight and tomorrow night and the night after that. And Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, we gotta wait till Scandal comes back on in February to see some black people. The fact of the matter is, what we have in America are folks who are living in denial, and all of a sudden, they're a little upset because they saw a splash of color in essentially what is a white canvas. David Swirlick, George Jefferson Nuri, William Leon.
Well,
it's interesting to listen to the to Spike's point about it's easier to be president than to be head of a studio, because it's the head of the studio that creates the narrative that Reverend, that so-called, that Reverend so-called Jackson kept talking about this narrative. He's watching the wrong channel, because again, the narrative that so many people are subscribing to is created by this white Hollywood.
I think what I loved most about Joseph
Papp. Liberal Hollywood.
So-called right. liberal Hollywood.
What I loved most about Joseph Papp, who was a big Broadway producer years ago and has now left the planet, is that he didn't think that white people owned cultural pieces. And he would cast Samuel Jackson as Hamlet, and he would cast Viola Davis in parts that would give be going to young blonde people. And I think that so often we think that white people own certain cultural things, like The Wiz. We all sat and watched Judy Garland Love It every single year, and we never think that looks like white ownership of that story. And what The Wiz did, and for those of you who are upset, The Wiz was on Broadway in the 1990s. And it's already been a movie.
Won 7 Tony Awards.
It won 7 Tony Awards. Just don't get surprised, because it's been around 25 years. What The Wiz did is that my children, my black children, get to own that story. That story doesn't belong to one race.
Yeah, two quick points just in addition to that. One would be that I actually think folks are entirely too sensitive about who is playing roles at this stage of the game. As you pointed out, Roland, there is a white Wiz. It's called the Wizard of Oz.
Except in the case of that movie where the director just apologized where they had all of these white actors playing Egyptians.
Right.
Absolutely. And that is a twisting of history. But I'm saying even the situation a few weeks ago that was reported out where there was a white actor playing Martin Luther King in a college play,
yeah.
I have no problem with that if the actor can convincingly play Martin Luther King.
That's going to be a little hard, though.
Okay, but my second point, with regard to my non-viewage of The Wiz.
Go ahead.
I am proud to have been called out by the Roland Martin Drop Squad today. That being said, I had other things to attend to. You guys are having.
You got 24 damn hours.
What? No, and I'm not going to. And I'm not going to watch. I know how it ends.
You better tweet by Sunday morning. Or you're going to have to repent.
Look, I know how it ends. I'm going to let you guys ease on down the road. I'll catch it in my own.
You're going to ease the hell on down that road yourself. So y'all can tweet. Y'all, put up David's Twitter handle right now.
Look.
Put up David's Twitter handle.
That's wordly. Tell me how it ends. Tell me what it
ends. Yeah, put up David's Twitter handle.
There you go.
Y'all.
You can come to my house. I DVR'd it.
This is not the day we're coming for my black card, Roland.
Not
over The Wiz. We come forward over something.
Your black card is up for review.
Not over the gosh darn.
I'm just saying right now.
Gosh darn.
I'm just saying when you go swipe it, that damn thing may not work.
All right.
Coming up.
Bring the phone.
Coming up, comedian Lavelle Crawford is in the house. I know he got something to say about David's black card. Next on News 1 Now, TV 1.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for black thoughts in America. It's News 1 Now with your host, Roland Martin.
Birthday shout out to our supermodel and entrepreneur Tyra Banks. She turns 42. She saw The Wiz, David. Rapper and entrepreneur Jay-Z turns 46. Actor Tony Todd, known for his role in the horror film Candyman, turns 61. And Lauren London turns 31. And Carrie Hilson. She turns 33. Paula Patton, she turns 40. I wonder if Robert Thicke is going to send her a gift. All right then, y'all. My next guest, y'all, is Lavelle Crawford. You've seen him in Breaking Bad, Common View, Def Comedy Jam. He's been on our show before. Glad to have him in studio. Lavelle, how you doing?
I'm good, Mr. Martin. How are you, sir?
Okay, I got to show you this here. I meant to bring it up in the last segment. So there's it. Y'all, go to my iPad, please, Shelly. That was this white guy named Kevin in Indy. He went off on The Wiz being all black.
Okay.
He got dragged by black Twitter. My man got beat so bad, he changed his bio on Twitter to, "I have apologized profusely for my ignorant The Wiz tweet. I am now informed. Please accept my apologies. And yes, they're sincere. Merry Christmas." I tried to get him on the show, and he agreed to come on, but his friends told him, "Do not come on." No, but I wasn't going to dog him, but I did want to give him an opportunity, because he said after he got the truth, he discovered, wow, what the history was. And then he said he watched it and was like, wow, this is a great show. It was a perfect example of somebody who didn't know, who got educated real quick and admitted, you know what? I was clueless.
Well, first of all, he should have seen the first Wizard of Oz. It wasn't no black folks in that one. Even Toto was light-skinned. Now, why would you even sit up here and even watch, learn your stuff before you start beefing? You know, find out what you're arguing about before.
But here's the deal, though. But what that says, though, is folk don't even know our history. Don't even know American history.
Yeah, we don't know. Hell, I just found out some stuff the other day. I didn't even know where peanut butter came from. I'm just playing.
Because David was over there going, take his car too.
Hey, I ain't got one. I ain't know you can get a black car. There's a lot of black knowledge I don't know about. One thing I know, you can't be black and carry a gun down the street. If I do, my white friend's carrying it. You know, but I mean, why do you come on fussing about something that you don't even know about? I mean, it's just dumb. The Wizard of Oz was the Wizard of Oz. This is the Wiz. Black folks short everything. You know it ain't going to be nobody white. There was a lot of white people behind the cameras.
No, they had some white dancers.
Did they?
And the dance had changed because they were voguing. And then you had Neo dabbing.
Neo was in it as a tin man.
Neo was a tin man. David Allen Greer was the line man.
David Allen Greer?
Stephanie Mills was in it. Line man, whatever the hell. He was a man who was a lion.
I know Queen Latifah took the man role, the wizard. She played the wizard. Why did she want to be the wizard? All the wicked witches, the north and the east. She had to be the wizard. What's that all about?
She wouldn't wear that green hat.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, but I like the old wiz anyway. Richard Pryor and Diana Ross. Michael Jackson, who was smooth on, he made the Scarecrow cool. You know what I'm saying? You know, Nipsey Russell, who needed to work. You know? You know, but I mean, when you come on and fuss about stuff, black people don't even got no TV shows, and you gonna sit up here and start all the white shows on TV, you gonna complain about one show.
Now, he
must have been drunk. He had to be drunk.
Now, did you see my interview earlier with that Bishop E.W. Jackson? Which was mad about Black Lives Matter and called them demonic and evil.
That brother Johnny, he tried to get some white people in the church. That's all he trying to get some of that white money. That's all it is. You know, I'm scared to go to church anymore. After they had to meet with Donald Trump, I don't know if I want. I don't think I want to go to church no more.
Really?
Anytime the preacher's up here backing the devil, you gonna back the devil? You know he the devil. His hair possessed. His hair is possessed.
Look like Chucky,
man. It looked like soft serve on top of his scalp. Oh. It looked like his hair have something to say at every debate. His hair going, let me step down and talk to these people.
So how would you feel if you were sitting in church and then your pastor walked in and said, I was in the meeting with Donald Trump, and as an individual, I am backing him for president.
Well, the last day I'm here, I'm moving over to the church on Garden City. I am leaving your church, Pastor. I'm becoming a Mormon. I said, because you don't know what you're talking about. You better leave that alone. There's nobody in the candidacy I want to vote for this year.
None. Obama, not even Bernie Sanders?
No, I don't want to vote for nobody.
Not even Hillary?
No. Hillary lost it. She ain't lost a punch.
Not Jeb Bush?
Man, please.
Rubio? Cruz?
I don't like nobody. And you naming people that I didn't even know was in it. I mean, this is the worst. This is going to be the worst election I have seen in my life. I don't know. I don't even know. Obama might as well just do a third term. He might as well. I mean, you know, he got the gas prices low and everything. I mean, go ahead. Just hang in there one more time. You know, once black people get a good job, we don't want to leave anyway.
Y'all, we gotta go to a break. Back with LaVell Crawford in a moment.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is, when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for black thoughts in America. It's News One Now. With Roland Martin.
Welcome back to News One Now on TV One. The girl, LaVell Crawford, is here. He's in town. Noni was bugging the hell out of me. He's at the DC Improv all weekend. Show sold out?
Pretty much, primary. We even got a 4 o'clock matinee show. It's pretty much sold out.
Dang.
Yes, that's how we do it.
But can we get tickets, though?
Yeah, you can get tickets.
Hold on, who's we? Not Black? You can't go to his show until you watch the Wiz.
Now, after LaVell said even Toto was light skinned, I was officially done with that conversation. But again, look, we're not coming for my black card over a Thursday night remake as you said, not even of the good.
Don't
list.
You know Thursday night is Black night? Historically, Cosby Show, Different World. Well, you remember those shows?
Did you see how much we starving for Black shows? That was Empire. Empire was Empire. My mom and them have dinner night at the house every Wednesday.
For one season. Now it's already grand closing.
Now Empire. You know. And what's his name? The brother that's doing it. What's
Lee
his
Daniels.
Name? Lee Daniels and brought his sexuality in, doing and ruining it for everybody.
So your mama canceled dinner?
No, she still watches. My mama, she grown.
She watch Scandal?
It's all right. Young men got to do what they got to do. And they was just proud of Precious, you know, getting her, you know, Precious show big women. They can still do it. Trust me. But it shouldn't be on camera. I'm a big man. You'll never catch a sex tape with me out there on it. It'd be horrible. If I'm on it, you'll never see me. It'd be like a GoPro. It sounds like LeVar, but we can't see him. But it's a lot of Cheeto crumbs all over.
Everybody, now please come for LeVar and leave me alone on Twitter. My timeline is over.
Yeah.
Well, what happened? You said something bad about the wind?
He didn't watch
it. I didn't watch it. So?
Yeah, thank you.
I didn't watch it.
You on a plane.
Yeah,
he was at home.
Let me tell you something. My wife went to sleep and she was at the house. We ain't watched the. I watched the old Wiz. I'm right. A 70s
Michael
baby.
Jackson,
I'm
Ross.
A 70s yeah. baby. I'm not like you know. Black folks be trying to make you feel bad for not seeing something that that ain't the best. Like I hate when black people brag on soul food and it ain't the best soul food. Oh, you don't go to mama's soul food. Why? My mama at home. And she cooks real good. I'm gonna go out and spend extra money for food at the house. I'm gonna pay for cabbage I can get at the house.
I told y'all food was going to come up, and hell, I ain't even had to mention it.
Hey,
y'all,
LaVell's, black people and food is natural.
LaVell's going to be at the Improv Comedy in Houston as well, so and Eric Crown Theater in Chicago. So go see him, my hometown in Houston, and where I used to live in Chicago. And let me also give a shout-out, of course, as I said, today is Founders Day for the Baddest and the Boldest and Coldest Fraternity, Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. The rest of y'all
was
in youth...
that last
the,
time I was
the
here?
Rest of y'all in youth groups, maybe so. Maybe so.
Every time I come, the Alphas always get a shout out.
That means because you always around here in December. December 4th when we were founded.
Right.
We got to go. Talking Chi-Rat.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.